If you'll be turning in your Bible to the Gospel of John in the 4th chapter, that's where we'll make our study this evening, John chapter 4. I want each of you to know how much I appreciate your presence tonight. I realize that it gets dark early. I recognize that many just come home in time to grab something to eat and come to service. And I realize that we have a pandemic. And yet I'm thankful that we can meet together and encourage one another and help each other on our way from this life to the next. And I'm so thankful for this congregation and your love for the truth and your stand for what is right. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Austin has suggested. And if you've never been baptized upon your faith in Christ, we have all things made convenient where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of sins. In the book of John, in the 4th chapter, look, if you will, at verses 34 beginning. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." I recognize that most of you have studied John chapter 4 time and time again. And we've examined the life of the woman we've identified as the Samaritan woman who came to the well. And you'll remember that Jesus at this time is talking to this woman. And you'll remember that they're at Jacob's well and Jesus begins to teach her about living water. She came to draw water out of Jacob's well, but Jesus identified himself as the water of life. And you'll remember that woman goes back to seek her, and you'll remember that she goes and tells the people about this one who had told her everything about her. And you'll remember that the people at that time begin to come out to see Jesus. I thought about the great lesson we learned when Jesus talked to that woman. First of all, I want us to understand here was a woman who had been married 5 times. And now she's just living with a man in sin. And yet notice Jesus didn't say, well, she's not a good prospect for the gospel. But Jesus saw a woman who needed salvation and Jesus taught her the truth. And notice when she tried to change subjects and talk about religion and say, you Jews worship in Jerusalem and us Samaritans up on this mountain, Jesus would not engage in that, but said, I'll tell you, there's coming a time when we will all worship God in spirit and truth, who are those who believe that I am the living water and follow me. And so there's great lessons about this woman in the change in her life. However, for a few moments tonight, I want us to look at another part of the event that we often overlook. And notice that the disciples had gone in to get food, and they come back. But Jesus isn't concerned about eating physical food. Jesus has turned his eyes to the field. And he looks at the field, and notice what he tells the disciples again. He tells them that the fields are white unto harvest. And notice, if you will, drop down to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Many have said that when Jesus lifted up his eyes and talked about the fields being white with harvest, that might have been the robes of the Samaritans coming out to hear the teaching of Jesus Christ. But I want us to talk about this evening several things in our study. The first thing I want us to think about is Jesus is telling the disciples that the harvest can come in the most unlikely places. You know, the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. In fact, the business, most Jews would not go through Samaritan territory. They would go a long way around to avoid going through the Samaritan country. But Jesus said, "I must go through Samaria." And here at Jacob's well, I want you to think about Jesus teaches a woman. He teaches a woman that most of the time the Jews would have nothing to do with, but Jesus saw the value of her soul. And I want you to stop and think about this one woman who understood who Jesus was, who understood her sin. When she decided she's going to change, she doesn't tarry about it. She goes back to the city and she starts to tell others about Jesus. Have you ever thought about the zeal of that woman? Have you ever stopped to think about, here is a woman who was a Samaritan and she goes back to her city and she unashamedly tells others about this Jesus? You would think when she came at the noonday, that shows a little bit, perhaps she was an outcast. It was the custom of the day for women to go draw water in the early morning before the heat. But this woman was carrying her water bucket and she leaves it behind to go tell others about this one who was by the well, who identified himself as living water, and he is the one who could redeem the people. I stand amazed at that woman. I stand amazed at her courage. She might have thought, who's going to listen to me? All the people in Samaria, all the people in Sychar know that I have sinned. But that woman doesn't allow that to stop her. She goes back and tells others about Jesus. It reminds me of the woman in the book of Luke in the 7th chapter. You remember when she came to Jesus, when Jesus was meeting with a Pharisee. And she drops tears from her eyes. And you remember, she anoints the feet of Jesus with oil. And she takes her hair and washes his feet. And you remember the Pharisee said, if Jesus was truly a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. A sinner. That's all he saw. But Jesus saw someone who could be forgiven. Jesus saw someone whose sins could be made right. And tonight, I want us to understand that the harvest can come in the most unlikely places. Yeah, you know, we look out at Athens, Alabama, and we think, oh, look how many sound congregations there are. Look at how many Christians are. But do you realize there are still a lot of people in Athens, Alabama, who don't know anything about Christ? And there are a lot of people tonight who are searching for something. There may be people down at the liquor store who are trying to numb the pain of life. There may be people on the street buying drugs tonight trying to find meaning. And they're lonely, they're hurting, and I'll tell you, they're missing where the comfort is. And it's up to you and I to go to them and to tell them where they can find peace of mind in Christ. Now sometimes we don't feel comfortable with that. Sometimes we just want somebody to come in and take a pew and just all of a sudden know everything we know, and we don't have patience with people. We don't give them time to grow. And sometimes I tell you what we need to remember is that we all start out as babes in Christ. And some of us have come from unlikely places to be children of God. I'll never forget one fellow one time that we baptized. And he didn't have any knowledge. And he didn't understand a lot of things. And you know, he'd say things and the people would give him stares. And I'd had to remind my brethren and remind myself, he's just starting out. And sometimes we aren't patient with the newborn babes. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm impressed with this woman who had just been understanding who Jesus is and immediately wants to tell others about him. What zeal! But then secondly, have you ever thought about sometimes what's happened in our day is we see all these discouraging signs. You know, we see people who are tied to doing things in their own way, people living in sin. We're mindful of the days of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6 where Paul gives an exhaustive list of many sins. Not an exhaustive list, but a long list of many sins. And we look out and see the same thing in the United States. You know, you don't have to leave Alabama. You don't even have to leave Athens to see about every sin that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And sometimes we get discouraged. But you ever thought even in Corinth they had a man who was living with his own father's wife, living in an ancestral sinful relationship? And you think about even in the days of Jesus, they mocked him. They said that he was crazy and insane, as brought out in John 10:20. And you think about that Jesus continued to teach, and notice that Jesus did not allow discouragement from keeping him from his mission. You know, tonight, my friends, sometimes we need to remember that. But that brings up a third thing. Jesus told the disciples, lift up your eyes. It's time you looked at the people who are ripe for the harvest. The disciples had not been looking, but Jesus says, I'll tell you what you need to do. Lift up your eyes. They're there. And Jesus told them in a simple manner, look, I want to take that. I want to make application to our life and the lesson yours. I want us to think about tonight that the harvest is ripe. We may not think so, but there are many lost souls in Athens, Alabama that need the truth of God. And I want to know who's going to take it to them. Someone may say, well, we pay you, preacher. I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to preach the truth. I have a responsibility to go to the lost. But I want to tell you something, my friend. If you think that negates your responsibility, you're 100% wrong. Because the Great Commission is to all of us. You can't pawn your job, your responsibility, off on someone else. He said, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. And there are going to be some people that you can reach that I'd never be able to reach. Sometimes I've been in places and they'd be talking. I remember one time this fellow said, oh, he was a police officer, and they was all saying, oh, what happened down on Highway 49? And then someone else was a mechanic and they walked in and they said, oh, I'm glad you came in. My car's been making this noise. We just want to know what you think it is. Then I walk in and everybody gets quiet. There's the preacher. Let's not talk. One time a fellow in Charlotte was just cussing up a storm. And the mayor who owned an auto parts store winked at me. He said, have you met the preacher from down the road? That fellow off a sudden said, oh, bless the Lord. He's blessed me so good. Change. Sometimes they don't feel comfortable talking, but they can talk to you. And sometimes what we need to do is build those relationships so we can bring people to Christ. Let people see we care about their soul. Secondly, it's discouraging at times to see all the signs in our day. When you look out and you see sin on every hand, you see little respect for God to no respect for God, you look around and a lot of people think the church is dead to them, and you see a lot of unrest, and it can be discouraging at times. But can I tell you what we need to do? Is don't focus on the signs, but focus on the people. Young men and young ladies, you look out and you'll see there are people who are hungering for truth today. Young people need the gospel. Older people need the gospel. And we need to see the harvest is ripe. We need to wake up and wage war against sin. We need to teach people about the love of God. And we need to be ready to go out to them. If we're content to just be salt in this building, then we're nothing more than a salt block, and that's not any good. Salt's only good if it's shaken. And what we need to be is salt at our work, in our occupation, at our place of recreation. You can be salt anywhere you go, and you can let your light shine. It's something if on Wednesday night we sit together and we let our light shine here, but then we go out into the darkness and we don't let our light shine, then, my friend, we have not done what God has told us to do. And don't focus on the trouble. I tell you what, what some of us need to do is just turn off the news and open our Bible. And when we open our Bible, we'll be encouraged to recognize that even in the days of New Testament Christianity, they face obstacles and troubles we are not facing yet. We may one day. But do we see the harvest is there? But what would be some things that hinder us if we allow them? First of all, if we're not careful, we can allow one another to hinder ourselves. Sometimes you see people arguing so much and there's so much gossip between members. And I'll tell you something, my friend. What we need to do is remember that we're the children of God. We're a family. And can I say something in all kindness and candor? The last thing you need to do is go out into the world and talk bad about a brother in Christ. I'll tell you, that's a shame and a disgrace. Here you are to be a light and you're to be salt and you're talking bad about someone who's a member here. Why would they want to come here if they think that everybody is in the wrong? Secondly, education. I'll tell you, most of the field of education and higher learning is against God. And we've got to start teaching our children at a young age to put their faith in God and to be convicted and to stand on their own two feet. Because there's going to come a time mama and daddy ain't going to be there to help them through the trouble, through what the professor says. But thirdly, and I'm careful on this, lest I be misunderstood, misrepresented. We need to be careful about politicians. They don't have any respect for God. And there may be some. But I'll tell you, we don't need to look for that to answer. What we need to do is look to the people who are lost and take the gospel to them. And sometimes we fail to look in unlikely places, in unexpected places. And many times this is where the gospel, where the harvest is ripe. I'll tell you something else I believe. And some may disagree with me, and you have that right. I think we need to get back to this old-time simple preaching. Sometimes we get so complicated and over everyone's head, and we sit there and we think that people are impressed with our words and with our knowledge. And I'll tell you something, my friend, people are starving for simple preaching. You ever notice there's two ways you can say something? Old boy was out with his daddy by the chicken house one day, and his daddy said to his son, "Son, don't count your chickens before they hatch." Boy went off to college, came back. They's out by the chicken house another day. He looked up at his father and he said, "Now, Father, do not calculate your juvenile poultry before the proper process of incubation has fully materialized." And his daddy said, "What?" He said, "You heard me." And the daddy said, "Are you saying don't count my chickens before they hatch?" Sometimes we just want to look like we know more. And I tell you, my friend, we need to make it simple. I'll never forget Robert Jackson said, "Preach to the 10-year-old and hope the PhD can understand it." And finally, there are still people who want the truth. Our job is to look for them. Lift up our eyes. There are still people who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. There are still people who want to come to the Lord and they don't know where to start. And they can start with you. Wouldn't it be something if this congregation had what we used to identify as a revival? We're almost afraid to use that word, but it's a scriptural word. It's used all throughout the Psalms. And a revival starts within. It starts with the people of God. If we started with ourselves, building up our zeal, building up our conviction, even in this pandemic, if we would take time to study, then when things get better, we'd have opportunity to go out and to teach and to bring the lost to Christ, because we are growing. And the more you grow, the more you want to teach others. The more you get excited about Bible study, the more you get excited about prayer. And my question tonight is, when I leave and when you leave, will we leave zealous and see the harvest is ripe? If you need to make your life right, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.